This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
Hi there, I'm Ray Reynolds. We welcome you back to the Getting to Know Your Bible program. We're so glad that you've joined us today. If this is your first time, we are grateful you tuned in to the broadcast and hope that you'll tune in every time we're available. We have some that watch the program every time it's on. We're glad that you are a regular contributor to the show, following us on all of our social media accounts. And we want to encourage you also to check out our website at gettingtoknowyourbible.com. We're always trying to do things that will encourage you to get to know your Bible. In just a moment, we're going to be in Mark chapter 12, and we're going to be talking about what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But before we do that, I want to encourage you to sign up for the free Bible Correspondence Course. If you watch the program regularly, you know we talk about this every time we're on the air because we believe it's very important that you get to know your Bible. And if you'd like some help in learning more about from the Holy Scriptures and how it can help you and bless you in your life, this course is exactly what you need. If you are in any way trying to just grow and trying to be able to boost your spiritual walk, this is your opportunity. Maybe you've taken the course before and you want to take it again. We encourage you to do that as well. You can just check out this information on the bottom of the screen in just a moment. We'll pause and give you an opportunity to learn more about the course. We also want to encourage you to think about what you need to do in your daily walk, in prayer, in Bible study, and there are resources that are available on our social media sites and on our website that hopefully can also encourage you. Blogs, podcasts, all kinds of good stuff that we hope will help you get to know your Bible. At this time, we're going to pause and let you know more about the Bible course and how you can receive it. Hi there, I'm Ray Reynolds, the Marketing Director for Getting to Know Your Bible. I want to encourage you to check out Pray.com, a resource where you can read daily Bible readings or get daily prayer ideas. And there you can also now find Getting to Know Your Bible. You can search for Getting to Know Your Bible or for Billy Lambert and find resources available to you through podcasts and previous programs that we'd love for you to check out. We want to encourage you in your daily walk for God. We pray that God will bless you and use this resource to do so. Thanks for tuning in to Getting to Know Your Bible.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible Correspondence Course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
In Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 31, the gospel writer says this, "Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' Jesus answered him, 'The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" For some time over the last few weeks, we've been really pondering what this verse means. I've been preaching it to my home congregation in Summerdale, Alabama, and also trying to, with my wife and I, sitting down and studying the scriptures to see what we can do to better serve God with our whole being. Now, this passage of scripture is obviously used and quoted frequently because Jesus basically summarizes the old law and all the old teaching, statutes, and commandments into a very simplistic sentence to remember. In the Old Testament, we see several times that this thought is mentioned in Scripture of loving the Lord your God with all your heart. Jesus uses this to, as I said, summarize the old law, but basically what he's doing is he's giving them something they were familiar with every time they assembled together. In synagogue service, they would quote this, which we call the Shema, or it would have been a basically with, if you have a call to worship or a statement that is made or read before your congregation on a regular basis, that's what they would do, is they would quote this verse and they would try to emphasize how they can love God more. In this section of scripture, there are really three points. He's making the point that we need to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength. He's also saying we need to love our neighbor, and he's also saying we need to love ourselves. And we're going to take that in three parts over the next few weeks. Let's start with this idea of loving God with all of our heart. It's divided into four categories. The first is loving him with our heart. Loving the Lord with God with our heart. That means that we have an emotional attachment to God. Many times in our culture today, people talk about love frequently in different ways. Maybe you've heard love expressed based on an item. You say, well, there's a certain food that I like, or a certain beverage that I like to drink, or a certain restaurant that I like to eat at, or something like that. And so people will say, man, I just love coffee. You know, for me, it's I love donuts. I was joking with our waitress today at the restaurant. All my social media handles are Ray Loves Donuts. It's easy for people to remember. And it reminds me, of course, that how we talk about donuts, I tell people all the time. It makes people smile, or at least it makes me smile. And so I use that kind of as an opening door of opportunity to talk to people about Jesus. And so whatever you love, you have an emotional attachment to it. We have an emotional attachment sometimes to things. We have an emotional attachment to our animals. I have a little dog, Lily. She's a golden doodle. She's the most brilliant dog that's ever been on the face of the planet. I love her. I adore her. Maybe, as I said, you have certain things that you use this word, not necessarily flippantly, but you use it regularly. In our culture, again, love is misunderstood. People think that love is only emotional. I'm going to show you today love's a whole lot more than that. But let's just look at that emotional part first. God knows our heart. He can look inside our heart. He knows the depths, the recesses, the crevices of our heart. He can search us inside and out. Whenever Samuel is brought to Bethlehem to be able to crown the new king, or at least to anoint the new king David, he looks at David and he thinks, man, this kid is not going to be a great king. He's the youngest of several boys. He's out in the field. He's not even present there when they're taking a head count. This guy is not going to make a great king. And so Samuel begins to kind of question God's authority, and maybe not necessarily just his authority, but his reasoning as to why he would choose this young kid to be the next king, when Saul clearly was head and shoulders above many in his day. And God basically says to Samuel that I look on the heart. And God judges our actions. There's no question about that. He knows what we do, and he knows why we do it. But looking into our heart, he knows the motivation behind it. And he knew that David had a heart like his. And frequently in scripture, we'll see that David has a heart like God, a man after God's own heart. In Psalm 51, David actually writes a psalm. It's based on his sin with Bathsheba and the struggles he faced in 2 Samuel 11 and 12. And in Psalm 51, he cries out to God and he asks God to create in him a clean heart. I wonder how many of us listening today and studying this message think about we would like to have a clean start. We'd like to just basically begin again. Now, you get an opportunity to do that when you become a New Testament Christian. You can be covered by the blood of Jesus. You can be forgiven of sin, and you start this new walk. But many times we stumble, we fall short, we make mistakes, and we want to come back to God and say, give me a clean heart. Let me start over. And God is very forgiving. If there's one thing we know about his nature based on scripture, is that he is a merciful and loving God. That's a part of his nature that we are supposed to emulate. In fact, when John talks about love, he says you can't mention God without mentioning love, because God is love. And that's part of his thesis of 1 John in the first three chapters, even into the fourth chapter. But in his letter, his gospel, he identifies that Jesus says, even on times of love and talking about the love of God, he said, God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son. So when you talk about love, that emotional attachment, there is no question that God is spirit. And therefore, this idea of being emotionally attached to God is having a relationship with the Lord. There's nothing wrong with talking about intimacy between people that we love and friendships and companionship. But our relationship with the Lord, that emotional, that strong bond of a relationship should be the strongest in our life. There are certain people in our life that we would die for. We would do anything to help in a time of need because we love them. But our relationship with God must always come as a precedent. It comes first. Going through the Proverbs, the Bible talks about sometimes there is within man the desire to do something. It's not in man to direct his steps. We're taught that by Jeremiah and other places that God is wanting to direct our steps. And he does that by residing in our heart, guiding our hearts. In the Beatitudes, Jesus teaches his disciples. That's something that God is looking at. Again, the heart of one who follows the Lord. In Romans 10, Paul talks about how we confess with our mouth. From our heart, that confession is made known to men. So again, what resides in your heart? When you look deep within yourself, what is there? Who do you love the absolute most? Our first answer should be, we love God. And we love God with everything in us. I remember as a young man becoming a Christian, and I know I've shared this story many times with people. That night, it was March 27th. I forget the year, but it's way back when. And I was 11 years old, and our preacher that night, he preached on heaven that morning, and he preached on hell that night. Scared the daylights out of me as a little kid. And so I began to question whether or not I needed to take steps in order to become a child of God. I've been raised in a Christian home. My grandparents were Christians. But I had to make a decision whether or not I wanted to personally make that my goal, is that I want to follow Jesus. I want to read my Bible. I want to pray. I want to be able to talk to my friends about spiritual things. And so I had to make a decision that day that I was going to give him all of me. There's a song we often sing in our books called I Surrender All. I was preaching that sermon one time and asked a song leader to lead I Surrender All at the end of my message. We had a wonderful man sitting in the front, or like the second or third row on the left-hand side. I could see as clear as day. And he carried a handkerchief inside of his jacket. And he pulled that handkerchief out during the invitation song, and he began to wave that white flag and sat down on the front pew. And he said, I need to surrender all to the Lord. I have not given him all of me. And that resides within me now that he's gone on to meet his reward. I think about how each of us need to have those moments with God, say, I need to give you everything. I need to give you everything in my heart. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Paul will talk about fleeing certain things, avoiding certain things. And we've got to be careful what we tuck in our heart, because ultimately what is in the heart will be how we react and deal with things in our daily walk. God needs to reside there first and foremost. The second thing that he says here is love the Lord your God with all your soul. Now, this adds an even deeper spiritual element to our love of God. So many times in the Psalms, the Bible teaches us about how God is spirit. You know, John 4 talks about God is spirit. We worship him in spirit and in truth. Anybody who's ever been to a worship service or been a part of some kind of a meeting where the Bible is read or prayer is offered, especially for me, when we sing songs, if you're a child of God and you're full of the Holy Spirit, there are moments where as you're singing a song, you feel something. You can't explain it, but you just think, man, I feel the presence of God in this place. I feel like in the singing of this song, I am joining with the chorus of angels that sing in the presence of God all the time. And the saints, every Sunday morning, I think about that as I'm taking communion and as I'm singing songs, that our songs are blending together with millions of voices every Lord's Day. And so there is a spiritual element to worship. There's a spiritual element to our daily life. I want you to think about what resides in your spirit. Sometimes I teach teenagers at a Christian school here, and I do this at least once a year. I've done it with our church family at least two or three times since I've preached here too, where I ask our members to close their eyes, and I ask them to look deep within themselves to see what they can find. And usually I'll ask the kids, say, what do you see? And they say, well, it's pitch black, can't see anything. I say, oh, look deeper, look longer. And as the questions begin to arise, what am I supposed to be looking for? Or what am I supposed to be seeing? I tell them that as you close your eyes and you look into that dark space, you're sensing something, the only thing you'll ever take with you into eternity. And that's your spirit. Do Do you nourish your spirit? We take care of our flesh, don't we? We make sure that our hair is done right and our clothes are on. We make sure that they are nice clothes. We'll oftentimes make sure that we have the, to me, one of the things is I like a pair of shoes that are going to be comfortable to walk in. We wear glasses for our eyesight. We wear hearing aids for our hearing. Maybe talking to a specific audience as we talk about these subjects. But I'm telling you, all of us probably have a mirror in our home. You ever found yourself looking into the mirror in your car, flipping down that visor or looking into that rearview mirror and you see your image? Some of us will use our cell phones. I was at a restaurant the other day and watched a woman pull up her cell phone, her camera, and she was looking at her teeth to see if there was anything in her teeth. So we're used to looking at an image. We're used to looking into a mirror. I shave with a guy every morning. Looks, you know, that's me. And I brush our teeth. We're looking in that mirror. And we have an opportunity as a child of God to look deep within the mirror of our soul. What is there? How much are we nourishing our soul and our spirit? We eat healthy foods to make sure our body is kept running in peak efficiency. What about our spirit, our soul? What are you doing to strengthen your spiritual walk? Are you spending time in prayer? And I'm not just talking about going through the prayer list in the bulletin. I'm not just talking about God be with all the sick and bless my food as I'm about to partake of it. I'm talking about, have you spent quality time just talking to the Lord, just asking Him for things and praising Him for the things He's already given you? I love my yard. I have about almost 3 acres, and I love to get out and walk with Lily, my dog, and we'll get out and walk in the yard, and she'll chase squirrels, and I have a walking stick. We'll walk around, make sure all the trees are watered, pick up any limbs that are in the yard, and I oftentimes will meditate. If I've just read the scriptures, I'll try to meditate on those Bible verses as I walk around. And there are ways that we can do that in your car. You know, if you're driving, you may have Sirius XM or you may have an FM station or a CD that you like to listen to. What are you spending quality time on nourishing your insides, your soul, your spirit? Maybe you could spend some of those moments in prayer. Also, think about not just prayer, but Bible study. What are you doing to increase your Bible study knowledge and being able to grow in your walk with God in a sense that you're understanding and you're processing Scripture? So many times in the Psalms it talks about meditating, and I think that's a lost concept today. We think meditation is something like people who practice yoga or someone who's wrapped up in a robe and their legs are crossed and they're sitting on the floor. That's not the meditation that the Bible talks about. It means really reflecting, thinking deep about what the Bible says and what God is doing for us in our life. We just think about it. We just pause for a moment. The Psalms talk about being still and knowing the presence of God. When have you done that? When have you just sat down and just closed your eyes or sat in a still, quiet place and focused on your walk with God? And what can you do to grow more? What can you do to be more spiritual? How can you really see and feel the presence of God? There are opportunities all around us. We just need to take them. I've been asked sometimes, how do you get so much done? I do a lot of stuff. I work constantly. I was working at 5 a.m. this morning on my phone. I love to work. But there is never enough time in a day, is there, to get the things done we want to do. But if something is really valuable to you and it means something to you, you'll make the time for it. In just a few weeks, I'm going to be going to visit my family. And I made that a priority that at least once a year, I'll drive the distance of 12 hours to go see my father and my brother and my cousins, because that's important to me. As I've gotten older in life, I realize that it's great to have a good relationship with my wife and my kids, but I also have to continue to build up those relationships because one day they'll be gone or I'll be gone. And so we just don't have enough time, not enough hours, not enough weeks or months or years in life. So we need to take quality time to nourish the one thing that we're going to take with us into eternity. We're going to take our soul and our spirit. The third thing that we want to focus on is things that are mental. Our walk with God is based on also our mindset. Love the Lord your God with all your mind. As the same, oftentimes the word heart is translated mind in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament. But what is in your mind? What are you dwelling on? What are you thinking about? I love when Nehemiah begins to talk about how in chapter 4 and verse 6, they had a mind to work. We often have a mind to do things. Sometimes we are stubborn in that we set our mind to something and we are not going to stop until it's finished. And so our mind gets focused on accomplishing a task, maybe going to a certain place or doing a certain thing. having a conversation with some of our kids the other day about bucket list things, where you make a whole list of things you want to accomplish before you kick the bucket. Maybe you have some things on your list. I was able to accomplish one of those just a few weeks ago. We took our congregation to the Ark encounter, and it was a wonderful experience. I encourage everybody to go and be a part of that. They're not paying me for that advertisement today, but I'm telling you, an opportunity to be around something of that size, that magnitude, and just ponder what was it like to walk on that Ark? What was it to be around all of those little critters? And I've often wondered how they deal with the waste. How do they deal with the food and with the water? And there are some answers given. They've taken some liberty in doing that, but certainly it is one thought or an opinion of how those things took place. So maybe you have some bucket list things that you'd like to do, some activities you'd like to make sure you accomplish. In our own individual lives, we have things that we want, goals that we want to set. Maybe you've set a goal for a year that you want to try to read the Bible in a year. We're doing that as a church family. Or maybe you've decided that as a goal you want to be healthier in the way you eat, or activities like exercise or spending more time with your kids, with your spouse, things like that. What we choose to work on and do is a reflection of what we've set our mind to do. What does our mind want to do? What have we guided our mind to think? Many times in places of Scripture, we'll see characters, Bible characters, that their mind is in the right place. One of those is in Acts 17. You know, Paul speaks there to the brethren on Mars Hill, and he recognizes that these are people who, for some respective purposes, they understood religion. They were a little misunderstood on how it was to be executed. They were looking at many gods instead of the one God. But Paul begins to try to challenge them to change their way of thinking. In Philippians 4, verse 8, which we mentioned in a previous broadcast, we're supposed to be careful of the things that we think about, what our mindset is on. Let me give you this thought. There's music and movies that we've watched, books that we've read, that are still within the deep recesses of our minds. Our mind's like a computer. We file things away. It's one of the reasons why as we get older, if we get dementia or Alzheimer's, sometimes we resort back to a childlike mentality, and we'll talk about things that happened when we were younger. Well, how do you even remember those things? Because those memories are implanted in our mind. We just haven't maybe had access to it for some time. But we have recall. And so what you put into your mind is what's going to come out. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So combining the first thought there and this third thought. Paul talks about in the book of Romans several times what we think about, how we dwell on certain things. When we get to love, loving yourself, loving your neighbors yourself, we'll talk a little bit more about what this really means to have a good mental state. I believe it's important to take care of our mental health. I think it's important that we get checkups from time to time to make sure that we are where we need to be spiritually. I tell our members all the time, there's nothing wrong with going to counseling. There's nothing wrong with sitting down with a life coach. And certainly there's nothing wrong with being around spiritual people that can help us to change our way of thinking, our mind. But Paul talks about this, and one of the things that he says in chapter 12 in verses 1 and 2 is he says, I beseech you, or I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, I want you to change your way of thinking. I want you to dwell on things that are more valuable spiritually to you. In Philippians 2 and verse 5, he tells the brethren there, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If I really want to serve the Lord, I've got to use my mind to think more like Christ. You know, what would Jesus do? How would he react? My mind is a very important and powerful tool, and it needs to be directed by spiritual things, by godly things. And then finally in this text, we recognize we need to love the Lord our God with all of our strength. And that means that love is not only this thing that is emotional and spiritual and mental, it's also a physical thing. Love is action. There's a song when I was growing up, love is a verb. And that's a great way to think about our life, is that it is an action word. It is something that we're trying to manifest in our daily walk. People ought to know that as a Christian, you're set apart and different by the way you treat people. People oftentimes are turned away by Christians who are hypocritical in that they say they love the Lord and they say they love people, but they're just simply not showing it. I think about Sunday afternoons. You know, I pray for our servers on Sunday afternoons because oftentimes they will tell you that's the last day that they want to work. People don't want to work Sunday, not because they want to go to church, but because they don't like serving church people. Now, why is that? Well, it's known by, you ask anybody who's ever worked in that line of work, that sometimes, I don't know whether it's that they had a sermon that morning that really stepped on their toes, but we ought to be known as that crowd on Sunday that just loves people. We're good tippers. We compliment. We are encouraging. We're building up. We're trying to bless people because love is action. You are known by your fruit. What kind of fruit are you bearing? Don't you find it interesting in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Love is a physical thing. It's something that moves you to action. The love of Christ compelled Paul. We need to be compelled by love in all that we do. I again challenge you to think about where you are in your spiritual walk with God. Are you loving Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Or are you holding back? Surrender all that you can to the Lord and let Him guide you. Let Him bless you. And I promise you, not only will you have a great life, but there are going to be people around you that will be blessed as well. We really appreciate you tuning in to the broadcast today. I hope that this has blessed you. I hope that you'll take advantage of the free Bible correspondence course, learn more about the Word of God. I also encourage you to find a Church of Christ in your community. If you want to write to us or call us, we'll help you find a congregation near where you live. And we also would love to pray for you if you have a prayer request. But until we meet again, we want you to know that we hope and pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you. God bless.
Hi there, I'm Ray Reynolds, the Marketing Director for Getting to Know Your Bible. I want to encourage you to check out pray.com, a resource where you can read daily Bible readings or get daily prayer ideas. And there you can also now find Getting to Know Your Bible. You can search for Getting to Know Your Bible or for Billy Lambert and find resources available to you through podcasts and previous programs that we'd love for you to check out. We want to encourage you in your daily walk for God. We pray that God will bless you and use this resource to do so. Thanks for tuning in to Getting to Know Your Bible.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214. Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible. Reach up and grow.